Welcome one and welcome all to NBA Clutch Time, hosted by Brandon Burroughs, a.k.a. Yasha the Beast, and of course presented by the Playmakers Radio. I know it's been a little while, but the NBA season is back. But let's be honest, it hasn't been that long of a while, right? I mean, this is the shortest offseason in NBA history. So I think we actually have quite a bit to talk about as the season has already taken off and has been in full effect for about a week or so. So, as you already know, I'm going to get right into it. So, let's talk about it. First and foremost, what did I tell y'all? What did I tell y'all? The Chris Paul effect is real. The Chris Paul effect is real. Now, listen, I'm not trying to sit back and, you know, toot my own horn, right? I don't want to sit back and put myself on a pedestal. But I told you. I told all of you. Right? No matter what team Chris Paul goes to, they become good. Like New Orleans, before Chris Paul came there, you know, they had already lost Baron Davis years prior. Didn't have any other players except for David West, who really had great redeemable quality. They had Page Stojakovic. No diss to Page, because we all know, you know, Page is a great guy. But, you know, when it came down to having a star that you could really thrive off of, they didn't have it. They got Chris Paul, boom, immediate turnaround. Then he ends up going to the Clippers. Clippers hadn't made the playoffs in years. They get Chris Paul, boom, immediate turnaround. Then after that, he goes to the Houston Rockets. Houston Rockets ends up going to the Western Conference Finals and literally was one game away from making the NBA Finals since 1995, when Hakeem Olajuwon made it. Okay, boom. That is a big plus. Now, we, you know, I was talking to you guys about the Oklahoma City Thunder. Remember how they only had a 0.2% chance of making the playoffs when Chris Paul got there? Boom. They made the playoffs. Not only did they make the playoffs, their record was just as good as the Dallas Mavericks and the the Houston Rockets, right? So now he's on Phoenix, and Phoenix is tied for the best record in the West. Excuse me, you gonna tell me that the Chris Paul effect isn't real? Phoenix is gonna end up making the playoffs this year, and they haven't made the playoffs since 2010. Like, that's the thing, guys. Not sure if you're paying attention or not, but that's the thing. They have not made the playoffs since 2010. Like, are we willing to admit the Chris Paul effect now? I mean, how many teams does he have to go to? Like, how many teams does he have to go to in order for y'all to realize this is real, this is legit, this is a thing? Well, it's okay. It is all right. It's A-okay. Nobody has to admit it, but we all know what it is, right? And I've seen people talk about how, oh, you know, it's Devin Booker. Devin Booker is the one that's really doing it. Granted, we all know Devin Booker is a great player. Nobody would ever take that away from Devin Booker. But at the same time, you also got to realize Devin Booker has been on that roster for more than a few years now, and they have not touched the playoffs once. Chris Paul comes. They start off with the best record in the West. Excuse me? Well, okay then. Like, nobody, like I said, nobody would ever take away Devin Booker's ability as a player, but Chris Paul is an iron fist leader. He knows how to win basketball games. He knows how to get to the playoffs consistently every year. He is somebody who knows how to do that. It is about time that people pay him his past due. And I'm, hell, I mean, let's be real. I ain't one of those people that got to do it, because I told y'all what it was from the jump. But nonetheless, you know, it is what it is. But go Phoenix. Now, I want to turn over to the Clippers for a second, right? The LA Clippers, they picked up Serge Ibaka, right? They let go of Montrezl Harrell. That's an upgrade. They didn't do anything at the point guard spot, lateral move. Paul George is saying that, you know, he's happy now. He's not in that bad mental spot, and he's ready to prove everybody wrong and all this other stuff, right? He said also he was going back to the old trainer that he had back when, you know, he was in OKC that last year when he was third in MVP voting. Yeah, he claims that he went back to that trainer, which, I mean, that's, you know, it's a pretty good move if that's gonna get you to where you once were. But at the end of the day, we're not worried about what you're going to do in the regular season. You know, your name is not regular season P. It's playoff P, and it's playoff P for a reason. You named yourself that, but nonetheless, you have yet to really show out in the playoffs. So, yeah, man, we got to see something. You know, you talking about going to that old trainer that you had and this, that, and the third. Well, that's great. But let's make sure that it happens and you know, we see what we need to see in the playoffs. You know, where it counts. Going to move on to the Lakers, right? The LA Lakers, I don't see the squad being as good as they were last year. Do I still see them being a top three squad in the West? Yes. No doubt about it. You got Anthony Davis and LeBron James. No doubt about it. But you lost quite a bit of clutch depth on your bench. Now, you guys got to remember something. When we talk about clutch, it's more than just hitting big shots. All right, clutch also comes in the form of stopping the opponents from hitting big shots, setting up teammates to hit big shots. Like, you got to realize, like, that was something that the Lakers had last year, and they don't have it as much. No more JaVale McGee, no more Dwight Howard, no more Rondo. Like, those are three big names that they don't have anymore. And JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard, we all know that they can, you know, they are great defenders in clutch moments. Like, they can stop the ball from going inside the hole. You try and take it in on them. Rondo is somebody who is a clutch defender. You know, he can stop you from hitting those big shots that you need to hit. On top of that, he's a clutch offensive player, just not in the form of a shooter. But we've seen Rondo dish out some amazing passes for some late, you know, for some late game-changing shots. And they don't have that anymore. Granted, you have Dennis Schroeder, and that's good, but that's not what Rondo was. You know, you get a better scorer with Dennis Schroeder, but with Rondo, you have a better playmaker, a better defender, a better floor general, a better leader coming off the bench. You don't have that with Dennis Schroeder. But nonetheless, like I said, I still see the Lakers being a top three team, you know, nonetheless. Next, we are going to move on to the Atlanta Hawks, right? Like, the Atlanta Hawks have been they've been trying to get to the point where they can show out on anybody, right? Like, you know, I really think that with the Hawks picking up all the depth that they got, it was just like, you can't go wrong, right? Like, you picked up Danilo Gallinari, even though he really didn't play, you know, much yet. But we all know what Danilo is capable of. Very, very, very good role player. I just wish injuries didn't hit him the way that they did, right? But you still got Bogdanovich, Trey Young, John Collins. Like, there's so much that goes. And then you pick up Rondo, right? Like, the same guy that I was just talking about, you pick him up. So you know your bench has a great, you know, form of a leader. Is, you know, they did a good job of covering their tracks, right? On top of the fact that, you know, Clint Capela is going to be playing this season. They did a great job of covering their tracks. You know, and I think that is something that Atlanta needs to be commended for. Atlanta, I could see being around like a fourth, maybe at the best, fourth or fifth seeded team. I can see them being like a fifth seeded team. But yeah, you know, it's not anything that I bank on, right? But it is something that I can definitely see it happening. next, I want to talk about the Dallas Mavericks, right? Like, Dallas, I see the same Mavericks that I see last year, right? Like, Mavericks didn't make a lot of offseason moves. You know, they made sure that they were going to keep their core that they already had for the most part. And I just, you know, Dallas has been a solid team last year, and I see them doing the same exact thing that they did last year this year, but I do definitely see them making it a bit farther in the playoffs. Do I see a finals appearance? No. Do I see a semifinals? Yes. The Bucks adding Jrue Holiday was a big move, right? But it's not a big move for the reason everybody thought it was. See, a lot of people look at Jrue Holiday and they're like, oh, you know, two-way player. He's a 20-point-per-game scorer. He's a great defender, right? And that's true. That is very true. But Jrue Holiday has definitely shown times where he can be a floor general, right? Like, he's not a Rondo-type floor general. He's not a Chris Paul-type floor general. But he is a good floor general when he needs to be. Now, the thing about it is, can he incorporate that and make that the majority of his game now? If so, then I can see the Milwaukee Bucks making it to the finals. If not, then I see another semifinal exit. Conference finals exit for the Milwaukee Bucks. But nonetheless, I do have faith in Jrue Holiday. I do definitely think that he can do, you know, whatever it is that he wants to do and whatever the team allows him to do. I think he can step up and do that. Giannis is going to be Giannis. We know that. Chris Middleton is a very good jump shooter, especially at the forward position. We know that. Brooke Lopez, you know, very good shooter at the center position. We know that. This is nothing new to any of us. But the simple fact is, you know, when you have that new piece, you have to find a way to work in that new piece to make it what you need it to be sometimes. Because they didn't go and get the piece that they really needed, which was Chris Paul. That's who I think they should have gotten. But nonetheless, getting Jrue Holiday is not, you know, a slouch of a move either. So big ups to Milwaukee for that. Because I feel like I said, you know, there are certain moves that's going to go under the radar, and that's okay. But when it's time to acknowledge it, don't just sit back and overlook it, right? Like, impact is impact. Regardless if it's positive or negative, impact is impact. Next, I actually want to talk about the Houston Rockets, right? So we all know James Harden was trying to force his way out of Houston, but you know, so far he's still there. He's still playing great. It looks like he plays pretty damn good with John Wall. That was something that a lot of people did not see coming, right? And that's okay. There's a lot of red herrings that can happen in the league. But one thing that I will definitely say is we got to wait for DeMarcus Cousins to be 100% healthy and for these refs to give him a chance, because, you know, he got ejected just last game, and it was ridiculous. Like, the ejection that he got was, it was ridiculous, right? Like, it's like they didn't want Houston to win. Like, it was crazy, man. But, you know, nonetheless, Christian Wood has been a huge step-up player. You know, and especially with everything that he's been doing so far this season and this season, you know, he's averaging almost 24 points and 10 rebounds a game. Well, that sounds great, right? Right. Remember, this is an undrafted player. Like, don't forget that. Undrafted player. Let's also put in the fact that he's averaging a steal and 2 blocks a game. Right, sounds even better. By the way, that also mentioned that he's shooting 55% and 72% from the free throw line. Yeah, it's just getting better and better, and I hope it stays like that, because he has a story to tell, and I hope that he's able to, you know, make everybody who did not believe in him eat their words and their decisions as well. Other than that, like I said, DeMarcus Cousins, I just feel like, you know, I'm waiting to see what I'm going to see from DeMarcus Cousins. Because remember, last game he only played 3 minutes. He played 2 minutes, 53 seconds, he got ejected. I couldn't believe it. Right? And remember, he got ejected off of one personal foul. Right? Like, they ejected him off of two. I couldn't believe it. But it's just like, yo, like, these refs really do have something against DeMarcus Cousins. Right? And that's going to hinder the that like that's gonna hinder the Houston Rockets, because with a healthy Christian Wood and a healthy DeMarcus Cousins, where both of them are getting that play, like that could be that's an amazing front court from based off of what we're seeing from Wood and what we have seen from Cousins. That could be an amazing front court. All they need is a chance. And I say give them a chance. Right? Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Next, and I really, 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 really wanted to get into this. The New York Knicks. And I'm going to say that for you again. The New York Knicks. You know, there's a guy on the Knicks that I have told you guys about when he was in New Orleans. I've told everybody about because of what Kobe Bryant said. Nobody seemed to believe it. But there's a certain guy, right, named Julius Randle. And you damn right I'm going to talk my shit. But there's a guy named Julius Randle, right? And Kobe Bryant once said that he had Lamar Odom's skill set with Zach Randolph's body. Kobe Bryant said Julius Randle was somebody who could do it all on the court. He is extremely skilled, and all he has to do is just harness his body and just make it his, right? Well, that's exactly what Julius Randle did. And we started seeing that in his last year with the Lakers. We started seeing that in New Orleans. But you want to know what? Nobody wanted to pay attention, and everybody kept on overlooking him. Why? I don't know. But I kept on telling everybody, this dude I believe in. This dude I will bet money on. This dude does actually pretty well when it comes down to fantasy basketball. So that's a special little pickup for y'all. Anyways, you got to realize, in 7 games so far, he's averaging 22 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists. 22, 11, and 7. He needs to work on those turnovers because he's averaging 5 turnovers a game, right? That's something that definitely needs to be worked on. But let's be real. Like, how many centers and power forwards in the league, you name it, with those type of stats right now? Nikola Jokic is one. Christian Wood with the points and rebounds is another. He ain't got the assists. You might be looking at Karl Anthony Towns and Joel Embiid. That's about it. Oh, I'm sorry. And Anthony Davis, of course. That's about it. Like, this dude is... And I'm glad that is happening, right? And I'm glad that the Knicks have a winning record. I can care less about the Knicks. Let's get that out the way. I can give a rat's... I don't care about the Knicks, okay? But nonetheless, he is what I thought he was. Point blank, period. He is exactly what I thought he was. And I wasn't going to let him off the hook if he was anything less. Next, we're going to get into Cleveland. Right, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, granted, they just lost to Orlando Magic 83-103, but the game prior to that, they beat the Atlanta Hawks, right, 96-91. This Cleveland team has the potential to be something special, but the reason why is because Colin Sexton, right next to Andre Drummond, is actually something that can work out very, very, very well. We still have to look into how JaVale McGee is going to do. He's averaging 9-7 right now, right? Which is, you know, that's good for the amount of minutes and the role that he's going to play. Kevin Love is averaging 9-6, right? But they're not playing that much. The guy that I need to see step up more is Larry Nance Jr. 8-7 just ain't going to cut it no more. Like, you need to be the player that people thought you were going to be. And, you know, it is what it is. Like, you need to become that player and it's not like you have to be a breakout superstar, right? But you got to be solid at least. Darius Garland's doing pretty good, though. You know, he's out there. He's averaging 17-3-6. Right, no 6 assists are crucial because Cleveland needs to work on ball movement.
That's a thing that, you know, we've always seen that the Cavs really need to, they need to spruce that up some. Boston, right? The Boston Celtics, Jaylen Brown, I've said this, and I said that it was going to be like this. I feel like Jaylen Brown is on a mission to get the recognition that Jason Tatum is getting. Because if you look at their numbers throughout the last couple years, Jaylen Brown has been every bit as good as Jason Tatum. The only difference is Tatum takes a little bit more shots than what Jaylen Brown does. And Jaylen Brown is quite a bit more efficient than Jason Tatum is. They're 1A and 1B of that team, but I feel like Jaylen Brown this year is out to establish some type of dominance, and he deserves to do that. He's technically been on the team longer than Jason Tatum has. I think it's only been by a year or so, but nonetheless, like, you know, it was your team first, right? And I'm not here to try and make this, oh, it's my team, no, it's my team type thing, but at the end of the day, like, it is something that needs to be established. So, I want to get into Philadelphia 76ers, right? With the Philadelphia 76ers, Joel Embiid averaging 23-12 with 3 assists. Tobias Harris is averaging 19-8-3, right? Seth Curry is actually having, you know, have yourself a year, Seth. He's averaging 15-2-4. Dwight Howard is playing different than what I thought was going to happen, not going to lie, because he's only averaging 14 minutes a game, right? But in those 14 minutes, you know, he's averaging 6-6, like 6.6 rebounds in the 14 minutes. Granted, I knew he wasn't going to get like a ton of time, but I thought, you know, I thought it would have been like at least a little bit of an upgrade than what the Lakers, you know, we're doing with him. But nonetheless, everybody has a role to play. Everybody's got to play their role. Ben Simmons is averaging 13-10-7. And he still isn't what he needs to be. At least, you know, me looking at it, you need to shoot the ball through. Like, it's at a point where you need to shoot the ball. You're not going to get any better if you do not shoot the ball. Your defense is damn good right now, right? Like, you're averaging 1.3 steals, which is, you know, the lowest that you've averaged thus far in the course of 4 years. But you're averaging 1.4 blocks, which is pretty damn good for a point guard. I don't give a damn what height you are. That's good for a point guard. he's shooting a lower percentage, though, like, in terms of field goal percentage. Like, he's only shooting 50.7, right? Like, even as a rookie, the dude was averaging 54%. Sophomore year, 56%. Last year, he was at 58%. Now he's at 50.7. I think Ben Simmons will step it up. But he's taking less shots, and he needs to be more assertive. He needs to be more aggressive. And on the offensive end, right? Like, dude, you got to let the league know that you are here. Make them fear you. That's what you got to do. next thing I want to get into is the Indiana Pacers, right? Victor Oladipo is averaging 21, 5.5 rebounds, and 4.5 assists. Not going to lie, I was hoping to see more from Victor because if you look, and granted, like, I know injuries and blah, blah, blah. I get it. I know it. You ain't got to tell me. But when you look at what Victor was when he, you know, when he first came to Indiana, averaging 23 points, shooting 47%, 37% from the three-point line, like, that's the Victor we are waiting to get back. Like, granted, it's only 21 points. You know, 21 points is only 2 points less, right? But it's just like, you're doing this, and like, you know, the fact of the matter is, you could be doing better, man. Like, you're supposed to elevate. But I'm going to give Victor some time. You know, I'm definitely going to give Victor some time. And I'm sorry, he's shooting 47%. Right now, he's shooting 45% from the three-point line. Sorry about that. But I would like to see how Victor progresses through the year. I just hope that there is progression. Domantas Sabonis, you know, he's averaging 21 points, 11 rebounds, and almost 7 assists himself. He is a great player to put next to Victor Oladipo because he is a guy that is, he's a Jokic-type player, and he's starting to get his name up there. You know, he's starting to be like, nah, y'all going to notice me because Nikola Jokic is not, he's not the only person that can do this, right? So he's like, nah, you're going to have to, like, he's putting the league on notice. And I definitely like what I'm seeing. TJ Warren averaging 15, 3, and 1, right? TJ Warren, I hope to see more of when it comes down to that elevation, like how he played in the bubble, right? Like, that's the TJ Warren that the Pacers are going to need in the playoffs. And I want to see if that happens, right? Like, that's, that's where my thing is with him. As long as I see elevation come playoff time, I don't care what he averages in the regular season. Like, that, like, that just is what it is. And let me not overlook Miles Turner, because I really almost did it. And I know a lot of people wouldn't have liked that. But Miles Turner is only averaging 13 and 6 right now. Well, 13, 5 and a half. I'm going to round it off to 6 because, you know, it's the right thing to do. But this dude's defense is crazy right now. Like, he's averaging 4 blocks per game almost. He's at 3.6 with 1.6 steals. Like, he's not an offensive focal point right now, and that's okay. I would like to see him be a little bit more aggressive on offense because he's only shooting 49%, which is not good for a center. It ain't horrible, but it ain't good. So I would like to see him be a little bit more efficient, but, like, he's having himself, like, that 2016 Hassan Whiteside type season. That's what we're starting to see from him. And I'd be lying if I say I don't enjoy what I'm seeing. Last but not least, last team I'm going to touch up on right now is the Golden State Warriors, right? And all I'm going to say is Steph told me to tell y'all, excuse me? Steph wanted me to tell y'all that because y'all sat back and y'all saw the Warriors struggle, you know, the first few games. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, you know, Steph's being exposed for this, that, and the third. And then Damian Lillard came out and he was like, oh, well, you know, he's seeing that, you know, the defenses ain't going to allow them shots that they allowed before. And, you know, them shots don't come easy like that anymore. And Steph really didn't say much of anything back towards Dame Lillard. He's like, all right, just watch what happens. And then, Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. That boy lit Damian Lillard ass up. Granted, they lost the first game. Right? Steph Curry had, you know, he had 26, 8, and 5. Dame had 34 and 8. Right? Like, Dame won the game. We know Dame won the game. But then Steph was just like, all right, now let me show you what I really can do. And that they ran that right back. And Steph said, 62. I'm here. Don't you ever question what I'm able to do on this court ever again. Don't you ever forget who I am. I changed the way basketball is played. And you gonna sit back and tell me, or tell the world rather, that it's harder for me to get my shots? I can shoot from anywhere. I will shoot it from half court. I'll shoot it from 3/4 of the court. I will shoot it from anywhere. But nonetheless, we all know that the Warriors are not a healthy squad right now, and that's what we're waiting for. We're not going to see that this year, but it is something to definitely look forward to. So with that being said, we got something to look forward to. So as we progress and as I continue to do this show, you know what I'm always going to address. Narratives. It'll never get old to me. It'll never die out to me. It's always going to be a thing, right? So, and I don't want to be that guy But I'm going to be that guy. So, narratives. All right. So, the narrative coming into this season was that the Lakers were at an unfair disadvantage, being that, you know, it's only been like less than 80 days since the season has ended and the new season started. And with that being said, why is that only a thing with the Lakers, right? Like, why is that not a thing with the Miami Heat, right? Who not only were coming into the season, you know, with the same amount of time off as the Lakers, but also with having to deal with two of their best players coming off of injury, Bam Adebayo and Goran Dragic, right? Like, we're both aware that they both got injured. With that being said, and I don't want to, I'm not saying this to take anything away from the Lakers, but what I am going to say is treat one the way that you're treating the other, right? Because it was those two teams in the finals. Another narrative is that, you know, people like to sit back and, you know, everybody is going to say something about somebody they don't like, right? Like, I'm going to come out and talk about what Isaiah Thomas has said before when he was on Club Shay Shay, right? Shannon Sharpe's show. Good podcast, but I was not a fan of that episode, right? And it's because of the simple fact that Shannon Sharpe was heavily agreeing and, you know, hearing what Isaiah Thomas was saying. Remember, I'm talking about Bad Boy Pistons Isaiah Thomas. I'm not talking about, you know, young Isaiah Thomas. But he was agreeing on everything that Isaiah Thomas was saying when Isaiah Thomas was like, oh, Jordan was the fifth, you know, toughest player that I ever faced. You know, he didn't have anything that we were after. And, you know, these were the guys we were chasing and this and the third. Right? But yet still, the players that you named beforehand, like you put Dr. J on that list. Dr. J had something you were chasing. Like, granted, did he win a title for you? Yes, he was also in the league way before you as well. But nonetheless, why is it that Dr. J was on the you know, the four toughest opponents that you ever faced, and Michael Jordan wasn't? When the simple fact of the matter was, you guys made Jordan rules to stop Jordan in some ways that were not legal in basketball, right? Like, you guys had to cheat to beat Jordan in the first place. But he's not one of the on the Mount Rushmore of people that you faced. Well, then why'd you have to cheat to win? Like, you guys see how that makes absolutely no sense, right? Oh, he's not one of the toughest people I've ever faced, but we had to cheat to beat him. Okay. Wow. That's first and foremost. Another thing was when we talk about LeBron never got eliminated in the first round, right? And then people say, oh, well, Jordan never got eliminated in the finals. Oh, but Jordan's got eliminated three times in the first round. Oh, but LeBron missed the playoffs three times of his career. And that, like, it's this back and forth between the Jordan and LeBron thing, right? And I think one thing that needs to be addressed, first and foremost, is that if I have to choose between going undefeated in the finals with a great record and undefeated in the first round with a great record, I'm choosing to be undefeated in the finals with a great record. Reason being, here's the context, guys. LeBron James never lost in the first round. Well, that's because the best team that LeBron James ever faced in the first round was the 48-win Pacers just 2 years ago. The best team Jordan ever faced in the first round was the best Celtics team ever. Anybody would lose in the first round to them. Right? Like, everybody's like, oh, LeBron James had the toughest finals opponents ever. Well, Jordan had the toughest first rounds ever, if that's the way you want to go about it. Right? And then they're like, oh, well, you know, When Jordan had finally beat the Bad Boys, they were old. And when Jordan finally beat the Lakers, they were old. So you're telling me the 2013 Spurs, the oldest team in the league, weren't old? Right? When LeBron James finally beat the Spurs, they were old. When LeBron James lost to the Mavericks, they were old. And then when he lost to the Spurs again in 2014, they were old. Don't use age as an excuse when it comes down to Jordan overcoming his opponents. But then when LeBron James goes up against the older guys, nobody wants to talk about their age. Everybody's like, oh, they have superstars. They're old. Stop it. You have 36-year-old Tim Duncan. Magic Johnson was only, what, 30? Tim Duncan was 36. Like, don't do that. Do not do that. Right? But nobody, like, nobody in the LeBron James fan coalition, nobody in the LeBron James Justice League wants to come out and talk about that, right? Now, we're going to get into another narrative. The narrative that Kobe Bryant is not on the NBA's Mount Rushmore. Well, give me three reasons. You know what's Mount Rushmore? Give me four reasons why he should not be on the NBA's Mount Rushmore. And as a matter of fact, give me three reasons why LeBron James is better than him. Because if we're going to have a fair argument, let's have a fair argument. Right? Anybody saying that LeBron James is a top five player of all time, I have no problem with it. But for some reason, LeBron James fans does. Anybody who says LeBron James is a top 10 player of all time, I have no problem with it. But for some reason, LeBron James fans does. Anybody saying LeBron James is a top 3 player of all time, I have no problem with it. But for some reason, LeBron James fans does. He's either got to be number 1 or number 1B. He's not allowed to be 2 or 3. He has to be number 1. And I don't understand how. Because I'm not putting somebody with a losing finals record as number 1. Because if that's the case, Wilt Chamberlain's number 1. Like, they're like, oh, LeBron James is going to have the greatest stats of all time. No, well, you know, honestly, that's probably going to be Wilt. That's probably Wilt Chamberlain. You know, the guy who averaged 30 and 20, right? But he has a horrible finals record, right? So if you're going to count that against Wilt, count it against LeBron too. Granted, his is better than Wilt, but it's still bad. He went to 10 finals and he lost 6 of them. Somebody, please call the cops. They're harassing me. No, we're not harassing you. We're just telling you the truth. The fact of the matter is, LeBron James, undefeated in the first round. Michael Jordan, undefeated in the finals. Kobe Bryant, undefeated in the conference finals. It seems like everybody forgot about that, though. LeBron James in the first round. What is he? Like 15-0. Jordan in the finals, 6-0. Kobe in the conference finals, 7-0. Well, it's not hard to make it to the first round of the playoffs. It's hard to make it to the conference finals. It's hard to make it to the finals. It's not hard to make it to the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. Right? Or wrong? Well, okay then. Now, another narrative. I'm going to finish on this one. Right? So, Kobe Bryant undefeated in conference finals. Boom. Kobe Bryant also beat the two teams that beat LeBron James to get to the finals in the first place in 2009 and 2010, which were the Orlando Magic and the Boston Celtics, right? Both of them beat LeBron. Kobe beat both of them while injured and having an injured team, right? LeBron and his team was healthy. LeBron and Kobe's team had basically the same records those years. Like, LeBron had 66 wins, Kobe had 65. That was in 2009, by the way. That 66-win Cavs team lost to the Orlando Magic. Healthy. While the LA Lakers took them out with ease. While injured. Kobe Bryant. One of the best, if not the best, pure scorer. Well-rounded score in NBA history, right? And then people will sit back and say, oh, he's inefficient. Well, then how come nobody says that about Ray Allen, who shoots the same field goal percentage as Kobe Bryant while taking less shots? But nobody said that about Ray Allen. Nobody said Ray Allen's inefficient. No, it was Ray Allen's one of the best shooters ever. But Kobe's inefficient. But they shoot the same field goal percentage. What the fuck? How? How? Well, quite frankly, I don't want to hear it either. Not to really try and bring Ray Allen into the mix, but come on. Like, the dude's a shooting god, and we all know it. Nonetheless, the fact of the matter is, Kobe Bryant, one of the best scorers ever. Kobe Bryant, one of the most elite guard defend or perimeter defenders ever. And then they sit back and they're like, oh, well, he's missed the most shots all time. Well, LeBron's about to have the most turnovers all time. Nobody's talking about it. When Kobe hit that last brick and set the record for most missed shots all time, oh, everybody was talking about it. Most missed shots, most missed shots. Okay, now keep that same energy when LeBron James break Karl Malone's record for most turnovers all time. Because he already has the most in playoff history, right? So make sure you keep that energy for most all time in the regular season too. Because it's about to happen this year. I give it about, I want to say about, I give him till All-Star break. Maybe. And that's when he sets the record. Yeah, I say till All-Star break, and that's when he sets the record. Anyways. I don't get it, man. Like, and I'm not picking on LeBron. I've made several posts congratulating LeBron and talking about how great LeBron is. I don't have a problem with LeBron James other than how much he likes to boast himself and the flopping, right? Those are the two things that I've always had a problem with LeBron. Like, LeBron's first run in Cleveland, I love LeBron because he wasn't boasting himself and he wasn't flopping. Like, he was the player that everybody wanted him to be. All he needed to do was just learn how to win, right? Like, that was it. Like, everybody always blamed the Cleveland Cavaliers whenever LeBron lost. But then when Kobe lost, it was Kobe's fault. It wasn't the Lakers' fault. It was Kobe's fault. And that's the dumbest logic ever. How come when one guy loses, it's the team's fault? The other guy loses, it's his fault. Right, and then it's, oh, well, LeBron James is a more well-rounded player. He gets the rebounds and the assists. Well, that's because that's how his game is channeled to be. Please don't forget that at one point in time, Mike D'Antoni had Kobe Bryant play point guard and asked Kobe to get those extra rebounds and assists, and Kobe Bryant was averaging 25-7-8, actually. Under the Mike D'Antoni system of the LA Lakers because Steve Nash got injured. Please, let's not forget that. Shooting about 48%. So whenever anybody says, oh, well, Kobe can't do what LeBron did, Kobe did it. But Kobe knew it wasn't a winning formula for him. So he's like, no, I'm not going to keep doing this. It does not get me what I need. Like, LeBron is the guy who likes to set the records and do, and that's great. You're going down in history, right? Kobe's like, I want to go down in history for one thing, winning. That's it. I want the guy who wants to be the winner. I don't want to be the guy that wants to be the record setter, because you could set records and still lose. Henceforth, his finals record. I want to be the guy who is the imperfect winner than the perfect loser. And if you don't get that, well, that's your fault. But anybody with common sense understands where I'm coming from when I say that. LeBron James is one of the best who ever pick up a basketball. LeBron James is the best off the court leader. LeBron James is one of the best activists in NBA history. I arguably would still put Bill Russell at number one. He kind of played a role in the civil rights movement that a lot of people don't like to talk about. But Nonetheless, 1A and 1B, LeBron James and Bill Russell. When it comes down to off-the-court activism and, you know, what they, you know, certain things like that. The difference was Bill Russell had to put up with it. He just, you know, he led, right? Like, it was a different time. LeBron James doesn't have to put up with it. He chooses to fight, right? Like, he chooses to make a stand and, you know, let the common folk know, hey, I'm on your side, right? And a lot of people will sit back and be like, oh, well, I don't see him at the rallies and this, that, and the third. Well, you know what? With a lot of haters out there, he might just get shot if he was at one of them damn rallies. And I bet one of you, oh, I bet one of you know nothing eggheads would like to see that happen. But guess what? LeBron James is a great black man who is very, very, very educated, despite not coming out of college prior to going to the NBA, who knew how to become a leader. And like it or not, the common black athlete will look up to LeBron James for that. So regardless on if you like it or not, it is what it is, and it needs to be appreciated. So thank you, LeBron James, for that. Now, back to what I was saying. If I want the records, right, I'm going to go for LeBron. But being a record setter has nothing to do with being a basketball player. You can excel at certain things, but can you excel at the important things? Kobe can excel at hitting shots over two and three people, finding his way in between them without having to make so much contact. Kobe is a wizard with the ball in his hands. Kobe Bryant is somebody who will will his team to a win. Kobe Bryant is somebody who will strike fear into his opponents. Kobe Bryant is somebody who the opponents knew not to trash talk, because if they did, he was going to go and get 60, and that was the end of that. LeBron James does not strike that type of fear into people. And before anybody says, oh, well, just because he got 60 points don't mean nothing. Well, he never lost a game getting 60 points. So anybody who wants to say anything about it, shut up. How many games has he lost dropping 60? None of them, including his last one, where everybody says, oh, well, he took 50 shots. Well, guess what? If he would have made three more of those shots, he would have shot 50% too. Well, okay then. Anyways. There's this thing that goes around, right? Because everybody has an opinion and everybody's entitled to have an opinion. But unless you bring facts with your opinion, and I mean facts that have, you know, solidity to them, facts that are just like hardcore, hard hitting, you can't make your way around this. You can't change the fact that this happened. You can't put a situational on this because it's already been in a situation. Fact. Then, like, there's, unless you can provide that with your opinion has no basis. Your opinion is, it's liquid. And I need something solid for you to come to me and say that LeBron James is a better basketball player than Kobe Bryant. When asked about who would win one-on-one, Kobe Bryant or LeBron James, LeBron wouldn't even give a definitive answer. Kobe said he would. Michael said he would. Larry Bird said he would. Carmelo Anthony said he would. Dwayne Wade said he would. Like, everybody voted Kobe. Except for LeBron. Just because LeBron didn't vote. Granted, there's some new age players that's coming out. And they're like, oh, nah, we think LeBron can do it. Yeah, well, a lot of these new age players didn't get to play against Kobe, and that's why they picked LeBron. Everybody that's gotten the chance to play against prime Kobe and prime LeBron picked Kobe to win that one-on-one, right? And then people will say, oh, well, basketball is a team sport. Right, okay, that's why we have games of one-on-one, right? A team sport is a sport that you cannot play one-on-one. You can't play football one-on-one, right? You can't have one person hike the ball, run the ball, and throw the ball, and catch the ball all at the same time. No, basketball can be played one-on-one. Basketball, pro basketball is a team sport. But basketball definitely has a one-on-one aspect to it where you do not need a team. Pro basketball is a team sport. And in the game of pro basketball, you could go ahead and say, hey, well, LeBron James uses his team better. Or LeBron James elevates his team. That's another thing. Everybody says LeBron James elevates his teammates. No, no, no. LeBron James, what he does is he looks at the best possible skill that his teammates has and just says, hey, use that. Kobe don't do that. Kobe's like, nope, you better learn how to do this. And you better learn how to do this. And you better learn how to play defense. Because you playing with me now. You ain't got to know how to shoot the ball. I can do that. But you better learn how to set picks. You better learn how to switch off of picks. You better learn how to play man-to-man. You better learn how to play zone. You better learn how to dribble the ball. Because if I see too many turnovers, you ain't getting the ball back. LeBron James is more of a, all right, you're a great rebounder. Just rebound. You're a great shooter. All right. I'm going to get you set up. Just go out there and shoot. You're a great slasher. All right, listen. I'll get everybody to look at either me or the shooter, and I'm going to get the ball to you. Just keep on running towards the basket. No. That's not elevating your teammates. That's just having them showcase their primary skills the best. Right? But that's not getting them into a better position as a basketball player. But when it comes down to, like I said, getting them to reach their potential at their best skill, nobody's better at doing that than LeBron James. He's got that down pat. He's able to analyze people and see what the best quality of that person is and make it shine. Nobody can do that like LeBron. Absolutely nobody. And I wouldn't think twice about it. Unless we're talking Chris Paul. Nope, I wouldn't even say Chris Paul. Strictly LeBron James. But if I had to, like I said, if I had to talk about strictly basketball, dribbling, shooting, footwork, post work, these are things that go into basketball. It's more than just rebounding and passing. Overall scoring, it's Kobe. Free throw shooting, it's Kobe. Footwork, it's Kobe. Dribbling, it's Kobe. Getting out of a double team, it's Kobe. Getting out of a triple team, it's Kobe. Passing, it's LeBron. Rebounding, it's LeBron. But if we're going pound for pound, it's about even. Because you also got to remember, LeBron James on average is about 35 pounds bigger than Kobe Bryant and 2.5 inches taller than Kobe Bryant too. Give Kobe an extra 35 pounds and 2 inches. I'm pretty sure he's matching LeBron James in rebounds. And I dare anybody to say it any different. But anyways, defense, it's Kobe. Analyzing the game to know your opponent's weakness, it is Kobe. Things of basketball nature that makes you a basketball player, the things you learn how to do, you don't have to learn how to pass. You look at them and you give them the ball. Nobody has to teach you how to pass. You either got it in you or you don't. You either want to give up the ball or you don't. You don't have to be taught how to pass. You have to be taught how to dribble the ball. You have to be taught intricate footwork. You have to be taught different post moves. You have to be taught how to do a turnaround fadeaway. You have to, like, these are things you are taught. These are things that are attributed to the level of genius of a basketball player. It's more than just looking at the open man and hitting him with the ball. And as a basketball player, it is Kobe Bryant. And you all know it. Everybody has said it. Kobe Bryant was the next coming of Michael Jordan. Kobe Bryant was the second Michael Jordan. Kobe Bryant was the next Michael Jordan. Everybody say it. So if you're the next thing of greatest, wouldn't that make you the next greatest? I don't get how everybody says he's the next Michael Jordan, but doesn't rank him as the next Michael Jordan. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Second coming of the greatest means second greatest. Then it's time to rank the greatest, and Kobe's not ranked second. Well, the only person that I could rank above him is the person that wasn't the second coming of the greatest. It would be the greatest before the greatest, which would be Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, right? And I don't mind putting Kareem at second. I get it. LeBron James has more of the trophies than Kobe Bryant. Not by much, but he has more of the trophies. He has more MVPs and more finals MVPs, right? But Kobe has more more All-NBA defensive teams. Kobe Bryant has more scoring titles. Like, Kobe Bryant has things to his name that LeBron does not have to his name. LeBron James has things to his name that Kobe Bryant does not have to his name. But we're not talking about who has what to their name. Did you win? And are you the better player? Are you the better basketballer? Whatever the hell you guys want to call it. Are you the better at that? Are you more skilled? If the answer is yes to both of those, pretty sure you're the better player. Just pretty sure you should be ranked higher. Yes, still, motherfucker, still got Kobe ranked as like number 9. How is Shaq ahead of Kobe and Kobe's done more than Shaq? How is Duncan ranked ahead of Kobe and Kobe's done more than Duncan? Right, and you're like, oh, well, Duncan has one more MVP than Kobe does. Kobe beat Duncan Moore in the playoffs to get to the finals in the first place. Yeah, remember what I was saying? That he's undefeated in conference finals? Yeah, that includes against Duncan. Duncan couldn't beat him once in the conference finals. So, yeah, no, he doesn't rank over Kobe. He doesn't. Tim Duncan's the most fundamental player of all time, which it's hard to be in a fundamental player in a league full of flashy motherfuckers, in a league full of Tracy McGrady's and LeBron James's and Allen Iverson's and Kobe Bryant's, where every, like, so many of these star players can do so many crazy things and you are hitting bank shots from 15 feet out. It's hard to be that guy and win. Like, Duncan's resume is pretty fucking crazy. But the craziest thing about his resume is his consistency. But that's just the thing. Duncan never elevated and Duncan never really dropped. He just stayed the same his whole entire career. Like, he came in as a fundamental impact player who was virtually unstoppable at his position. Middle of his career, no higher, no lower. End of his career, no higher, no lower. He stayed the same. Like, it's crazy. Now, here's another thing, right? Another thing, you know, when we talk about narratives, is this Bron sexual thing. If you're a fan of LeBron, you're a Bron sexual. Stop that bullshit. Any fan of LeBron has a reason to be a fan of LeBron because LeBron is great. LeBron James is one of the most greatest players of all time. He is the essence of greatness. Right? Like, You can't think of basketball greatness and not think of LeBron James. You cannot do it. But y'all need to stop that. For real. Labeling fans because they like a player is honestly like one of the most toxic things that you could possibly do. Like, it's one of the most retarded things I've ever heard in my life. LeBronsexuals. Now, granted, I've heard some wild stuff about y'all LeBron fans, man. Like, y'all make it hard to defend y'all at times. I'm not going to say about some of the stuff that I be seeing in these Facebook groups of what LeBron fans be saying. Right? Because they be taking it to a whole different level. They literally take it to a sexual level. Talking about his cup size and all this other stuff. Like, no. Keep it basketball, bro. Like, y'all weird. But that's not all of them. That's honestly not even a vast majority of them. So don't sit back and look at that small amount of or small percentage of people and take it out on the rest of like logical LeBron fans. Like, you guys are fucking nuts. And like, it's literally at a point where it's like, you know, a lot of people want to call LeBron James fans toxic. No, LeBron James, you know, the haters of LeBron James are the toxic ones. Not the people who dislike him. Not the people who have a problem with him. But the people who genuinely hate him, y'all have a problem. And a serious one. Because there ain't no reason why you should be hating LeBron James, the person. He's never done anything to anybody. Screwed over a couple of organizations. But he's never done anything to anybody. So, like, why are you hating on somebody who's never done anything to you? Grow up, accept the fact that you don't like him, but accept the fact that he's great. Like, there's going to be people who oppose your opinion. There's going to be people who oppose the opinion that I'm putting out there right now. That's fine. But how do you oppose it is what it comes down to. That's what it comes down to. So there's a difference. But the fact of the matter is, once again, when we're talking about narratives, be careful of the narrative that you're spreading. Because it can make you look like a genius, or it could just make you look like an ass. You choose who you want to be in this world. Don't be the ass. But at any rate, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up for tonight. I want to once again thank everybody who's been listening. I deeply appreciate you and your support. Those who have been reaching out who want to be, you know, featured on an episode of the show, don't worry. I have actually been paying attention, contrary to belief. I've been paying attention, been having to deal with some illness, non-COVID related, and some deaths. That have, you know, had a somewhat of a personal effect on me. I definitely want to say rest in peace to Brody Lee, a.k.a. Luke Harper, real name Jonathan Huber. He was a great man. I actually knew him personally. You guys either knew him from AEW or from the WWE. He was a great guy. I knew him actually throughout high school. He was a he was a librarian's assistant at Frederick Douglass High School, and it's definitely a tragedy losing him. You know, as soon as he passed away, the first person that I called was his brother. You know, make sure that the family was okay, and you know, just you know, give him my condolences and my well wishes. You know, he's a pretty funny dude. And like I said, you know, he was never anybody who thought he was better than anybody else because he rose to that level of fame or, you know, anything of the sort. He was very humble, very down-to-earth guy. And, you know, especially from, like, you know, the interactions and conversations that I had with him, he was very fun to be around. He never talked about his profession a lot. But he always appreciated the support, you know, from a lot of the local people who used to go to his local events, you know, like NWA Upstate and UPW, you know, Huber Boy 2, let's go. You know, I deeply am sorry for him and his family in this time of turmoil. And once again, I just wanted to make sure that I throw in a small rest in peace and just, you know, let the world know who he was in terms of the person that I have met and known for quite a few years. So once again, rest in paradise, John. We love you and we will definitely miss you. We already do. But, you know, with your greatness and your legacy and the person that you are, you know, I'm pretty sure that your family always will have their essence. Your friends will always have your essence. And especially your son, Lil Brody, will also, you know, have that essence of you. And I hope you are looking down at all of us with a smile, as you did with me personally. But that's going to be it for tonight, folks. I'm going to wrap it up here. And I'm going to say goodnight to everybody. And you all be safe. Take care.